All right, if you would go ahead and take your Bibles, turn to 1 Samuel. And, oops. Okay. And we're in chapter 16. We're getting ready to wrap that chapter up. And again, as we look at that, this chapter was one where Saul had already been told by Samuel that he was no longer going to be the king and that God had chosen him another. And God directed Samuel to go to Bethlehem to go to have an offering there to Jesse's family. And as he went there, God told him, he says, I'm going to choose me a king. And we remember this story as Samuel told Jesse to bring out his sons, and he did. And the first one he saw alive, he looked on him and he thought in his mind, this is the one. This is the one that God is choosing. He was falling in the same temptation that Israel fell into. And he was looking on the outward appearance and really not the heart. And God said, nope, this is not him. He said, man looketh on the outward appearance, but God, he says, I look on the inward of the heart. And so here he passed him by, and we went through, and he came to the eighth son, it was, and his name was David. He was a young man in the field, and after he had seen the seven, he asked, are there any more? And he said, well, I got one out in the field. Like, he'll never be the king. He's not the one you want in Jesse's mind. But anyway, God had other plans, and he brought him in, and of course, he anointed David, and David is going to be the next king. So that's kind of where we left off in chapter 16. Let's begin reading verse 14 through 23 here this morning. And I was going to kind of skip over this because we'd gotten through, but I thought, well, we're going through this verse by verse, so I wanted to go ahead and make sure we covered all of it. And so let's go ahead and do that. Verse 14 says, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said unto him, behold now, an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is a cunning player of a harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. And Saul said unto his servants, provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. Then answered one of his servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, and a mighty valiant man, a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. Again, there's a very important words we see in that last part of verse 18. And the Lord was with him. And verse 19 says, wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, send me David thy son, which is with the sheep. And Jesse took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid and sent them by David his son unto Saul. And David came to Saul, stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you for the opportunity to be here again, and we thank you so much for your word as we continue to study the book of 1 Samuel. And Lord willing, that we continue on, but we see there's some principles, there's some information here that is very valuable to us today. Sometimes we think the Old Testament is a book that was written long ago and doesn't really have much meaning for us, but really the truth of the matter is all Scripture is inspired by you. And Father, as we look at it and study it, I pray you would guide and direct in each one of our hearts, and that we, as your servants, would look to you and trust you in these things. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So here we see that the Spirit really is confronting the situation here. It's interesting. The kingdom was rent from Saul. He no longer was the king. Although he was still in the position, he was not being blessed by God that was taken from him. And in this particular instance, we see that the Spirit of the Lord was taken away from Saul, and now an evil spirit came upon him. Now again, as we look at and study the Old Testament, we find out that the Spirit of God worked differently than it does today. And what is the difference between then and now? Anybody? That's right. Can he leave us? Never. We're sealed until the day of redemption, it says. And so it's a whole different situation. So now in verse 14, we see that God is no longer blessing us, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. And I tell you, David, he made that prayer in Psalm 51 where he asked God that the Spirit would not leave him. The Bible teaches us when David was anointed, from that day forward, the Spirit was with him. So he never lost the Spirit in the sense that it departed from him like it did Saul. And again, the reason it did, because God was not blessing him any longer because he disobeyed God. How did he disobey God? Do you remember? What was the major straw that broke the camel's back? Okay, is that where he told him that he was no longer going to be the king? That's right. Remember how his confession went? Anybody remember how he confessed? That's right. He said, "I have sinned." And then through that whole little paragraph there, he said, "The people made me do it." In other words, he didn't confess that it was he that was wrong. He just shifted the blame. And that's what happens to all of us, isn't it? I've heard some confessions in our church in prior years that people would, they're supposed to come and get right with the Lord, and what they actually did was shift the blame. They just said, because of this, or I just want to let everybody know what's going on, or that type of thing, instead of, I have sinned. And that's really where we have a problem, myself as well, is that recognizing, number one, that it's me that has the problem, and number two, confessing it in detail to God, being specific of what it is that you've done wrong. If we're not willing to do that, it's like saying, forgive me all my sin. Can God forgive you all the sin? Absolutely. But when we commit a trespass against God, He knows what it is. So he wants us to know what it is, and when we confess it, to name it. Exactly why I sinned or what I did that committed this trespass against God. And Saul, he did not go through with that. So here, there was an evil spirit sent to him. It says, and it's just interesting, in verse 14, it says, and an evil spirit from who? The Lord. This is Jehovah God. He sent the evil spirit to Saul to trouble him. And so this evil spirit was sent to him. And we see that it was sent and it came upon him. And this happened other places, as we're going to see as we continue down the study. I think in chapter 18 we see it happens. In chapter 19 again it happens. But here in Deuteronomy 28:15 says, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. And Deuteronomy, and there's a list there, I'm not going to go through it, but in Deuteronomy 28:28 says, the Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. And as you think about this, this sounds kind of like what Saul is going through, and this has happened because of his disobedience. Now, I am so thankful today that the Lord doesn't work the same way in the sense of the Old Testament and New Testament. In fact, that we're indwelt by the Spirit of God. But He does work the same way in the sense that these things were not something that God did just like that. Okay? There was a time span between all these things taking place. That's God's mercy and God's grace. He will give us enough rope to hang ourselves, in a sense, or He will continually strive to get you back in the fold, to get you back in the right direction, and He'll continually to do that. How does He do that, by the way? Anybody know how He does that? How does God get us back or get our attention? I heard a lot of things. What? Chastening. How does He do that? Circumstances that come into our lives that He allows into our lives? Yeah, what else? He doesn't give you a peace. That's right. Right. Anybody else? Huh? His Word. That's right. His Word is convicting. What else? I know I'm trying to get to a point, but all these things are right and they're absolutely correct. But He uses people. Does He not? He uses those that are willing to stand in the place of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our responsibility as Christians. And He will use us. In other words, when we do wrong, it would be like the Bible teaches, iron sharpens iron. We ought to go and talk to a brother or sister in Christ to help them, encourage them to come back. God uses us. Where's the Spirit at? Look around and see if you can see Him in the room. Do you feel Him anywhere? I see the Spirit. He's right there inside of Mike. He's right there inside of Jim. And so if the Spirit of God is speaking to people, often He'll use His Word and He'll use other people to guide and direct and help people. God uses people. And that's what He's going to do right here in the next section we're going to see, because all of a sudden Saul is in this distress. He's discouraged. This evil spirit is upon him. He really, in his mind, he may not even know why. He asked Samuel to forgive him. Of course, Samuel told him the king was going to be rent for him completely. And so verse 15, it says, "And Saul's servant said unto him, Behold now, an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is cunning player of a harp. It shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well." So this is all in preparation of David being king. He's actually going to come into the palace and be there where the kingdom is residing, if you will, in a sense. And so David is going to be prepared as he goes through this situation. So this same spirit that had left Saul is the spirit that David had upon him in his life. And so we see that God's preparing him. And the Bible said in verse 18, I remember I mentioned it twice, in that last part, it says, "And the Lord was with him." This is something that is so important as you study from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, is that we as Christians, that we have, through Jesus Christ, putting our faith in Jesus, that we have the Spirit of God that indwells us. And we want the Lord to be with us everywhere we go and in everything we do. But there's a difference, and we'll talk about that more a little bit in the morning service, but there's a difference than just being indwelt and being filled. We want to find out the feeling of the Spirit of God in our lives. That's where we're led by God and not by ourselves. Can a believer be indwelt by God and not be led by God? Yes, that's true. We can be just like the world and act like the world and do the things the world does, follow Satan and follow our own desires and be a Christian. That's right. But the fact is, we want to be led by the Lord. Who else can you remember that was really, it was a, when you look at his life, he had that same connotation. In fact, it said the Lord was with him. Does anybody remember somebody else that went through some very difficult situations? Joseph, that's right. And we remember Joseph because no matter what was going on in his life, because the Lord was with him, and let me just back up and say this, he was with the Lord, okay? There is some responsibility on our part for the Lord to be with us in every situation. He wants us to be with Him, and we have a choice to do that. And so Joseph was a man that followed the Lord throughout his life, no matter what the situation was. We remember the situation, I think I might have mentioned this last week, the situation where he was tempted by Potiphar's wife. I don't know about you, but a lot of people would succumb to that temptation. A lot of Christians would succumb to that temptation. But Joseph did not. And he made the statement that he could not sin against God. And of course, he fled. And because of that, there was consequences, right? He was thrown in prison. But you know what? The Lord was with Joseph. even in prison, God used him there. Of course, he gave some interpretation as well, but he was lifted up to second in command. And all of that had a purpose. See, we can't see the beginning to the end, but God can. God knew the day that Joseph was thrown in that pit, there was a purpose behind that whole situation. And Joseph realized that at the end of his life when he told his brothers that they meant to do harm, but God had planned this for a purpose. Well, here David is in a situation that he's going to the royal court and the Lord is with him. David, he was skilled in music. He knew how to play. And this is important too, that sometimes we forget this idea or think about music. And I'm not going to get into a big music thing, but we often forget that music plays an important part in our lives. And today, so many Christians, instead of choosing what is godly, they will choose what the world has to offer. You say, well, I would never do that. Well, there's music out there that is bridge music. There's music out there that sways your emotions and drives that instead of really truth and what the Bible speaks of. And sometimes we get caught up in that. I don't know about you, but I have emotions. You know, maybe you know that. Maybe you don't. You get caught up with things and it's easy to do it. A song really moves you or something like that. We need to be careful that is a song that is really pleasing to the Lord. See, the music that David played, he played skillfully. He played music that actually caused the evil spirit to be removed. And I want to suggest to you today, that was godly music. Okay? And for us as well, we want to choose that which is best, that which is godly music. I think it was Ron Comfort, he used to say that preaching is king and music is what? Queen. Music prepares the hearts for the message. And sometimes it doesn't do that if it's the emotional. The message that God gives to us, there's emotion surely behind some of that. But more important, it's the truth of the doctrines. That's what God wants us to learn and practice. Okay? And that's important. See, we see here an example of someone who didn't follow the truth of the doctrines that were laid out to him and someone who is. And again, why was David chosen? Anybody remember? Why was he chosen? He was the eighth son of Jesse. He was out in the field tending the sheep. He was in all essence, in the way we would think today, just like a nobody, just a kid out there in the field. But why did God choose him? He loved the Lord, absolutely. Okay, anybody else? His heart, he loved the Lord, yeah. Absolutely. Here it says, now, this, when you see this, this is written after the fact, but it says he was a man of war. David wasn't actually a man of war as of yet. He was still a young man, although he did fight the bear and the lion. In our passage, it said that he was a man of war, and he is. We're going to see that farther on down. But yet, he was a man, and I believe this with all my heart, that God is looking for those that will follow him to make them leaders. And that's exactly what David did. He obeyed his father. He was out there tending the sheep where other people would think, oh, that's a menialist task, and why would I would never want to do that, or that's the lowest on the totem pole or whatever. But even through that job, he did protect those sheep, even if it would have cost him his life. He fought that bear. He fought that lion. And we'll see more of that in chapter 7 as we get through, because it's going to talk a little more about that. So here we see David. He was a man that was skilled in music. I believe, again, that emphasizes that principle of godly music that Pastor Kelly came and tried to teach us. And then also the fact that he is a man of God. The Lord was with him. And that is so important for all of us to understand, is that that should be the desire of our heart. You know, the Bible teaches us in Matthew chapter 5 about thirsting and hungering after righteousness. Can anybody tell me what do you think that means? You know, I'm dragging this out a little bit because I don't want to go to chapter 17 yet. That's where I thought I'd be today, but I wanted to cover this up. So what is thirsting and hungering after righteousness? What does that mean to you? How about that? What does that mean to you? Having a desire. You know, I would put the word strong in front of that. I think everybody in this room would say, I have a desire to follow the Lord. And that's true, but when we think of the word thirst and hunger, what does that bring up in your mind? Have you ever been thirsty? Have you ever been hungry? Now, most of us say, yeah, we've been hungry. But I don't think any of us really understood or have ever really experienced hunger in America to what hungry is. Going without food for long periods of time. Maybe you fasted. Maybe you have experienced it. But there's a point where you're really hungry and you really feel like I got to have something. That's what God wants us to do with the Word of God and with Him, is to really hunger for something. So if you were hungry and food was placed in front of you, what would you do with it? You just knock it off the table. I'm not eating that. I'm not going to eat anything. I'm going to stay hungry. Is that what we do? Dive in. We get in that and probably make a big mess and probably get as much on us as we got in us. Maybe, I don't know. But we lap that up, wouldn't we? We'd get on it. Well, that's what he's talking about for the Word of God for us. And again, I'll be honest with you. I'm not there. I don't. And I don't thirst and hunger after righteousness like the Bible teaches us. I don't lap it up, and I got it with me all the time. It's either on my phone or it's in my hands. I always have the Bible with me. And I ask myself, how much time do I spend it? Am I really thirsty? Am I really hungry? And often I find myself lacking. And the thing is that that's the point that the Lord is trying to lead each one of us to. Why? Because that hunger and that thirst after righteousness or understanding what the Word of God says is going to fill us up and to help us to be what Christ wants us to be. And that's the motivation, is that we want to be like who? Christ. Yeah, and sometimes I feel like myself that maybe that's not there as strong as it ought to be. And I'm just being honest with you that this is some things that I'm dealing with and thinking about just recently, is that we need to get to that point. I need to get to that point where I am so thirsty and hungry that I am seeking God's face. Because, you know, as I mentioned, I really believe that God can give us the faith to move mountains. Do you believe God can do that? I believe He can do that. And so then I have to ask myself, why am I not moving the mountain? And I know why. Because my faith is not strong as it should be. Or, you know, a grain of a mustard seed is not very big. That's almost like He says, ye of little faith. It's almost like saying, you don't need a great faith. You just need a little faith. Well, that makes me feel a whole lot shorter. Instead of great faith, now all I need is little faith, you know, and I'm not moving mountains. And so, again, that's the point as we study the Bible, and I see it in this passage again, is that God is using David, and David was a man that had that faith. David, as a young man, probably would not have been able to conquer a lion and a bear. Today, I cannot conquer a lion and a bear. It's not going to happen, okay? If a bear comes through the door, Greg, you get up and we'll take care of him. Thank you. Where's Elliot at? We'll get him up here. He's wanting to get a bear. But I'm not going to be able to conquer a bear. It's not going to happen. Again, it's because of the faith. And that's what we want. We want a strong faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that His direction for our life is the right direction. And so part of that comes just by studying the Word of God. The Word of God speaks to us, and it will teach us exactly God's plan for our life. What is one of the hardest things that we struggle with as Christians? Anybody got any ideas? And I don't have any, so you tell me. You what? Pride. Oh, that's the big one, isn't it? I got that. What else? I don't know if I use that, but desire, okay. Right. And again, all this in my heart and yours this morning sitting here, we can all say we desire the Lord. And you know what? I believe that's true in everybody's life here. I mean, to a degree that you're willing to follow, okay, whatever that degree is. But this, when you look at Jesus speaking about it, that degree is a much greater degree than what I'm willing to give, okay? In other words, I desire, but how much do I really desire? What could hinder me from maybe seeking the Lord or doing His will? Yes. Right. Right. Absolutely. Anybody else? Thoughts? Obedience. Right. Right. Yeah. Absolutely. That's a very good illustration. When the Lord tells me, or the Lord speaking to me, and sometimes we can get really dull to the hearing of the Word of God or the Lord speaking to us, and we won't listen. And the more we do that, the less we'll hear. Because to be attuned to what God says, we need to be paying attention to what He says. And that's where the communication lines, we lose those. So it is important that as we understand that, and again, I see illustrations in here where someone who is seeking the Lord, and David, he has written many of the Psalms, and you can see how he hungered after God. And those are the things that in my life I want to instill. See, I'm wrestling, like if I'm watching a football game, sometimes I'm thinking, man, I ought to do something else. I can do something else. And it's not like it was 3 or 4 years ago, although this has been a problem my whole life because of the football games on. I'm going to watch it, especially if it's a particular team. I won't mention those here because, anyway, I don't want to start a fight. Do what? It has nothing to do with how good or bad they do. But anyway, it's just, I guess is what I'm thinking. And as I look and start and continue to study the Word of God, is I'm finding myself lacking, because I'm really not where Paul was in his life, or David, or Joseph, or Joshua. And I can be. I can be. It's not out of our grasp to be like these folks in the Bible, because we serve the same God. It just takes the focus of what's important and what's not. And that's the thing that I'm struggling with. And I know that most of us as Christians, we struggle with these things too. And we just continue down the merry path. And I'm afraid that Christianity today, and you go back 50 years ago, it is not the same. If you looked at the people that were in the fundamental churches back 50 years ago, they were not like us. They didn't go and participate in the world. They didn't have TVs. They didn't do any of that junk. Of course, they didn't have computers and phones and all this other stuff we got. But they weren't focused on those things. Those things were just in their mind. They were worldly and they were ungodly and they weren't going to have them. And so there's some thoughts there that we need to think about, because we're just following along with the world's plan, with everything they're doing. We're getting all we can and hanging on to it. And really, the stuff we have is not important as much as what God can do in our lives. And just some food for thought as we think about David, and we're going to see him in the next chapter. And you already, if you read ahead, we're in chapter 17. We're going to see him do some things that we would consider mighty, but I want you to know that it's God that's doing those things, because David is walking with the Lord and the Lord is with him. The same thing that we can do. And God wants us to be used of him. Let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you for allowing us to be here this morning. We pray you just continue to guide and direct in our lives. Help us to look to you. Help me to thirst and hunger after righteousness, realizing that your word is important, not only your word, but doing your word. And Father, I pray that you would give me the faith and the desire to do those very things. Now, Father, dismiss us and bring us back at 11. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.